You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Oh, beautiful, glorious, wonderful Friday here on the Locked On Kings podcast, wrapping up another week of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Matt George. Welcome into Locked On Kings. I am a host from Sports 1140 KHDK, the flagship radio station of your Sacramento Kings. I work there as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist. And working at KHDK means I get to share the hallways and the workspaces with some amazing personalities, including Grant Napier, including Damian Barling, Jason Ross, and the man that's going to be joining me today. Former Sacramento King, one of my favorite Sacramento Kings of all time, a legend here in Sacramento, Doug Christie will be joining me here on the Locked On Kings podcast in just a little bit. You're going to want to tune in and listen to what he has to say about Marvin Bagley, De'Aaron Fox, the California Classic, Summer League, and this young team's approach to next season. He covers it all. Nice enough to spend around 10 minutes with me before he had to go on the air with Grant Napier. So you're going to hear that in just a little bit. But before that, on Twitter the other day, I put out a little poll. You've heard me a lot of times with a lot of the guests that I've had over the past couple weeks ask their definitions of what success looks like for the Kings next season. Some similarities, a lot of the analysts and the quote-unquote experts saying that they want to see constant improvement every single day and this team getting better on a daily basis. And you saw some of that, but I offered four options on a KHDK Twitter poll, and a lot of you chimed in and were a part of that, and I appreciate all 746 people who voted and weighed in, many of you leaving your comments as well. I don't have enough time to go through all of those, but hopefully this will give you a gauge of what the general NBA and Sacramento Kings fan is hoping to see come next season. I put out four options. So the question was, how do you measure success for the Sacramento Kings next season? Option number one was being competitive every single night. Option number two was the emergence of a clear star and leader. Option number three was acquiring a draft pick, a 2019 draft pick. And number four was wins only. Wins are all that matters, and wins is what I want to see with this team. 746 people weighed in, and emergence of a star was number one with 45% of the vote. Emergence of a star was number one. Number two was competitive every single night. Number three at 17% was wins only. And at the bottom, 3% was acquiring a pick. And so I put out about three-fourths of the way through this poll being out, I put out there just to gauge reaction, whether this was a similar situation. The fans were hoping for something similar to when the Kings had DeMarcus Cousins a couple years ago, or something different, but still an emergence of a star. And what I mean by that is the Kings had their clear-cut star and haven't had a clear-cut star since the trading away of DeMarcus Cousins. I think this time around, fans are looking for and wanting to see De'Aaron Fox or Buddy Hield or Bogdan Bogdanovic, Marvin Bagley, Harry Giles, someone step forward as the clear-cut star power potential leader and go-to guy on this team that will be the centerpiece and the face of this franchise for years to come. You have to have a star to succeed in the NBA, so that's partially a step in the right direction. You have to assume that the Kings finding that clear-cut star could also hopefully translate into more wins and more competitiveness better than when DeMarcus Cousins was here in town. But that was the 45% competitive every night, which was the common one I've been hearing with myself and with other analysts, was at 35%. Wins only 17%. I was a bit surprised that acquiring a pick was only 3%. Very few people wanting the Kings to try and acquire assets. And the reason why I bring that up is because now this is all speculation stuff and it's all in good fun. So there's no rumors that I'm putting out there. There's no expectation. Nobody got wind of conversation going on. But Bleacher Report put out this potential trade scenario, and I came across it late last night. And I tweeted it out there because it's something that I was interested in and something that I would be 100% okay with the Sacramento Kings pursuing if it indeed was an option. I'm curious your takes on that. The Los Angeles Lakers are still interested in getting rid of the contract, the massive money for Luol Deng. They're paying him a decent amount of money. And they're trying to get rid of that final 2 years, $36.8 million that's left on his contract. We know the Sacramento Kings do have the cap room to be able to absorb bad contracts should they move on from other pieces. So this was the trade that Bleacher Report preached, and it looks good really on both sides. Their suggested trade was to send Deng and a 2019 first-round pick that was top three protected along with two second rounders at later years to the Sacramento Kings for Zach Randolph and Iman Shumpert. I like this trade package. I like this idea. Again, this is just a proposal. This is just speculation of a move that could be made that benefits both teams. I think the Kings absolutely win out on this trade, despite the fact that they're absorbing the money of Luol Deng. Let's just look at Deng specifically. Not someone that's going to give you a lot of minutes or a lot of production on a nightly basis. Probably will spend majority of time on his or on the bench. But a veteran presence, a leader, also can fill that small forward position when needed, depending upon injuries and anything like that. Luol Deng is something that provides, in my opinion, more value than Zach Randolph and Iman Shumpert combined. In fact, if you were to ask me if both were on this roster, who would you rather have more playing time, Zach Randolph or Luol Deng, I'd tell you Luol Deng in a heartbeat just because of the positional need and because I really, quite frankly, don't want to see Zach Randolph on the floor with this young Kings team as much next season, not nearly as much next season as we saw last season. If the Kings want to play a fast-paced offense, Luol Deng doesn't necessarily fit that very well either, but it's just an idea, and I think he's a better fit with this team going forward for those 2 years that he'd be on the payroll than Zach Randolph. So you kill kind of two birds with one stone. You move on from Shumpert and Randolph. You take on that big money, but you do acquire a 2019 first-rounder. Now, this is the Los Angeles Lakers 2019 first-rounder, which means it's probably going to be a late first-round pick. We're talking mid to late 20s. Depending upon how well the Lakers do this season with LeBron James there as their new centerpiece. You have to figure they're going to be a playoff team. You have to figure they're going to be competitive. So you're looking at a pick most likely between 20 and 30. Now, that's better than not having any pick at all, which is the current 2019 situation for your Sacramento Kings. So if it's me and if I'm Vlade and that phone call was made to me and that offer was put in front of me, I would gladly absorb that massive Luol Deng contract and pay for that to acquire those assets and to move on from Randolph and Iman Shumpert. I'm curious if you feel the same way. Let me know. Respond to that trade. You can also respond to the Twitter poll about the Kings' success at MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter, or you can email me at any time, mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. Think that over, mull that over, and also enjoy this next 10-minute conversation that I had with Sacramento Kings legend, former small forward, shooting guard, defender, everything, glue guy for this Sacramento Kings team in the early 2000s. Doug Christie joins me here for the next 10 minutes to share his thoughts on this young Kings team heading into next season. I grew up watching this man play, and now I have the pleasure of being able to call him a co-worker at the Sports 1140 KHTK studios. It is the legendary defender and king himself, Doug Christie, joins me here on the Locked On Kings podcast. DC, hope your summer's been treating you well, my man. It seems like we're still so far away from the start of the NBA, but it's going to come up pretty quick. Welcome into the Locked On Kings podcast, and I'm right out of the gate, I'm curious, how did you approach the month of August as a player, knowing that, you know, training camp was right over the horizon, but you didn't want to dive into things too early? But I'm sure at this point you're itching to get back out there on the floor.
You are probably, it just depends on how you evaluate yourself and your time and what you need to improve upon. But a lot of the times I might break it down into conditioning and then skill, and right about now I might make sure that I'm starting to play some games. It just depends on what I'm trying to work on. If I'm trying to work on conditioning or strength, maybe I'm focusing on that right as we start getting ready to get camp closer and closer. So it depends on how you break it down, but each month, each day is vitally important. There are some, in my opinion, fundamental things that every player should do every day so that you are incrementally improving in certain fundamental skills.
You are a energy guy, and you've always been an energy guy. And you said on the KHDK airwaves a number of times, one of the things you really loved about Marvin Bagley was the energy that he creates for himself and his teammates. We can also say the same thing about Harry Giles, which we'll get to in a second. But after seeing Marvin Bagley play both in Vegas and in a couple games in the California Classic, obviously some weaknesses there. You could look at the right hand. You could look at the strength that he needs to add. Ultimately, he's 19, 20 years old. He's still got a lot to learn. But how are you feeling now building upon of your initial praise of Marvin Bagley?
I really like Marvin. I like his size. I like his athleticism. He has an NBA body. He has an NBA motor. So let's just start there. The skills, all the different things, that's teachable. And it's how far down the rabbit hole is a particular individual willing to go to become quote-unquote good, great, or legendary, whatever the case may be. So he has a beautiful, clean palette that has a lot of things on it. When you talk about his right hand, he's left-handed, so usually they have an advantage because most drills are done right-handed, and players will forget, oh my goodness, he's left-handed, unless you're really locked in. I see a lot of really good things from him. I see him have the ability to knock down a three-pointer. Then I see him maybe airball one. So from that standpoint, it shows me that it can be done. Now to the focus and the consistency, that's going to be up to him.
I'm glad you talked about teachable things, because that's really the nail on the head for him. Is we talked about and looked at his defensive weaknesses as one of his major question marks coming out of college. But defense can be taught. Yeah. Effort isn't. And Bagley strikes you as a gym rat effort guy that's going to give you 110% every single day.
You know, when I watch him on the defensive end, he reminds me of myself when I was young, from the standpoint that when I was younger, I didn't have defensive fundamentals. I would just erase everything with uber crazy athleticism and block shots and quick hands and steal balls and things like that. When I watch him on the defense, he's very he's kind of hoppy and he moves around a lot. Defense is more cat-like. You got to sit down. You got to observe. You got to be in the right place to pounce on the ball, the defender, catch a move, those type of things. It's a lot more strategic, and you have to use your mind. Thus, you have to study the game and know your opponent and a lot of different things. But his own fundamental things, meaning physical positioning, if he would just improve that, he would improve exponentially as a defender. Now you take into consideration a team defensive concept and talking and learning pick and roll coverages and all those things. I don't think he's going to have a problem doing it. I just think it's going to be his willingness to focus on really fine points on the defensive end of the floor.
We heard so many phenomenal things about Harry Giles last season, and rightfully so. You were one of the many that saw him in practice and went, oh man, this guy's going to be something special. And so many of us had to sit there and wait, like, what is it you're seeing? We want to see it right away. Well, we finally got a chance to see it in summer league, and many of us were blown away. Can you talk about your surprise level of what Harry Giles showed and what he can be at the NBA level?
Well, for me, Matt, he surprised me with his ability to knock down shots. Now, I have seen him shoot. He had his little ball jumper to his game. He kind of brings it across. But his lack of hesitation and just going after it, I really like that. His IQ for the game of basketball is vastly superior to a lot of guys we got on the team, in my opinion, because I watch, like, Justin Jackson was cutting through the lane, and he passed him a pass that Justin didn't even look for. And normally when you're not looking, that says, you know, you're not even thinking that I'm a viable option. Key is Harry thought you were a viable option, which means he's seeing two and three plays ahead. Mm-hmm. That was one of the things that caught me when I first got to watch him. And then his little mean streak that he has, meaning when he's the one of the greatest, I mean, his parents raised him the right way, great kid. Mm-hmm. But when he steps inside that line, he switches. And that's what personally I look for, is because you are on stage now. Now is the time where you can turn into something totally different, and he does that, which gives me, and hearing about his work ethic and different things, gives me a upside of hope that he is going to be what I think he can be.
You know, the Kings have a lot of gym rats on their roster, and I know that makes you happy being a gym rat yourself. Another guy that is a gym rat that I want to talk about because I'm extremely high on him is Buddy Hield. I think this has all the makings of a breakout year for Buddy Hield. One thing I really wanted to see from him is if he could add the ability to create his own shot and maybe get to the foul line a little bit more, because he seems to rely a lot on the pick and pops or getting the ball from an open teammate. What do you see from Buddy Hield about just being able to extend that game? And ultimately, what is Buddy Hield's ceiling, in your opinion?
You know, that's a really good question, Matt, because last year Buddy did some things that I personally didn't know if he could do. Didn't think he could do, but didn't know if he could. And that was on the defensive end of the floor. First of all, some people look at it as a demotion, you know, going to the bench. For me, it wasn't, because I think that that is a perfect role for a guy that shoots that prolific. And he comes in a la Bobby Jackson, and he has the ability to put points on the board really quickly. But when you pair that with his willingness, let's say that first, willingness and ability to compete on the defensive end, I was so happy for him and amazed. Now, the fact that he has accepted the six-man role, I think – really takes a lot of stress off of him, especially going to the offseason. He can focus on a lot of different things coming in, knowing that this is going to be my role. And man, oh man, I would agree with you. I'm looking for a really positive year out of Buddy Hield on both ends of the court.
Last thing for you, DC. Thank you so much for taking the time. De'Aaron Fox said this summer that he wants to be that team leader, that Chris Paul for this team, that demands you run the floor and that has the respect of all of his teammates and everybody around him. I'm huge on the Kings being and playing in transition this year. That's something that I think is a measuring stick that we should hold them accountable. I don't use fatigue as an excuse with a team as young as the Kings are. How effective do you think this team can be in transition? Is De'Aaron Fox ready to take on that Chris Paul mantra for this team?
You know, I'm hoping that he is. There's a bunch of different ways that you can do it. One is verbally, but to be honest, verbal means nothing without action. So by him coming early, staying late, being first in all the drills, going hard, leading by example, that's going to be the way that he's going to galvanize the team and say, follow me, I'm the leader. He will have the basketball. His ability to push the ball, I think, is going to be what dictates how good this team is, because you have big guys that can run, you have shooters that can trail and shoot, you have all these different things. I used to watch in guard Steve Nash as he would do this. I would run with him because I was bigger and faster than he was, but he'd have the ball. He would go through the lane and he would come out the other side, which gave guys who were slower than him a chance to come in transition and fill in. And I think that De'Aaron Fox has to learn that sort of thing. With that type of speed, he can get down the floor before anybody. If it's not there, dribble in, come out the other side. Now you got a Triller and Bogdan and Buddy. You got an alley-oop for Willie or Harry or Marvin. Quick pick and roll, pass and cut. There are so many different options when you just let the ball go. Just dribble on through, kick it up if you can, whatever it is. But the pace of the game is going to dictate how good the Kings play this year, especially with such a young team.
Well, and you had to be pleased with how De'Aaron showed in his one game of the California Classic. Clearly the best player on the floor. I don't think it's any surprise that his best and only game was Marvin's best game alongside him. So just from what we saw from De'Aaron in that one game, you definitely have to be pleased with your point guard, him being the point guard going forward. DC, thank you so much for taking the time. I know you have to go to a radio show, so I appreciate it. We'll definitely try and have you back on very soon. If we don't talk to you before your first full-time broadcast on the broadcast team, best of luck with that. Looking forward to having you alongside Grant, and we'll talk to you very soon, my man. Thank you. Appreciate you, man.
Have a good one.
DC is the man. So glad he could join me on the Locked On Kings podcast. We'll definitely have him back on here soon as the regular season approaches. You can check him out. He's going to be on with Grant Napier all the time now for the majority of the Sacramento Kings TV broadcast next year. So I'm excited to have him on the call for most Kings games. And it's going to be fun interacting with him more and more as he starts traveling and following this team on an even deeper level than he was already. He's going to be a great guy to have in our back pocket to bring back on. And I know you, the listeners, enjoy having him there. So we will definitely be trying to knock down his door and bring him back on Locked On Kings in the very near future. But my thanks to him for spending the time. My thanks to all of you for listening to another week of Locked On Kings. So many of you have sent in your request to be a part of the Fans Only show. I'm going to be putting that together next week so that I will be For those of you who have reached out and expressed interest in being on that show, I will be selecting the group that will be selected for the first episode, and then we'll either record it next week and try and get it out late next week, or we'll get it out early the following week. But it's in the works, and everybody who's trying to be involved, I appreciate everybody for wanting to be a part of it. If you have a second and you haven't already, so many of you hadn't, it helps us out so much. But if you could take the time to go to iTunes or to Stitcher and leave a quick review of this podcast and suggest any improvements that you want, any critical thoughts for me or this podcast or any topics you want covered, any of that, we look at that, we learn from that, it helps us grow, and it helps us improve as a podcast network. So please do that if you have the chance, and then come back here on Monday for more great Locked On Kings content. Another great week in store for you. I hope you enjoy the future interviews that I'm going to be having. I hope you enjoy this fans only show that we're going to do very shortly here as well. Can you believe it? We're already around halfway through the month of August. We wrap up August, and September is the start of the NFL, but who cares about that? It's also the start of NBA training camp. So guys, we're getting through the rough period. We're getting through it. We're finally going to get into September here before you know it. A lot of great basketball coming. A lot of great conversation coming. This is the right place to be if you call yourself a Sacramento Kings fan. I thank you to each and every one of you who choose to listen to Locked On Kings and make this your podcast hub for your favorite franchise, the Sacramento Kings. Have yourself a great, safe, and fun weekend. I will talk to you again on Monday. You have been listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast,
part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.